This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He's the suspect in a case last year that struck fear into Americans. Suspected mail bomber Cesar Sayoc, now to be in a Manhattan courtroom soon, expected to enter a guilty plea, though it's not clear what he's going to plead guilty to. Prosecutors have charged him with 30 counts, including using a weapon of mass destruction. The Florida man accused of mailing bombs last year to prominent Democrats and other critics of Donald Trump. None of the bombs detonated, and no one was hurt. Burning since Sunday, a chemical fire in the Houston area has officials now asking residents of Deer Park to stay indoors as they've detected higher levels of benzene.
We're being very conservative. The safety of our community is our number one concern.
Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, who says they have local and state partners keeping a very close eye on the situation. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. Because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Remarks by Kentucky's Republican Governor Matt Bevin about exposing his children to chickenpox, raising some eyebrows.
They were miserable for a few days.
Governor Matt Bevin making the remark in a Wednesday interview while suggesting the government should stay out of mandating vaccines. He says when a neighbor got the disease, he intentionally exposed all nine of his kids to it so that they would get the disease and become immune to chickenpox.
And I went and made sure every one of my kids was exposed to it, and they got it. They were miserable for a few days, and they all turned out fine.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention urging against deliberately exposing kids to any sort of disease. Mississippi Republican Governor Phil Bryant is about to sign a new abortion law that may be the strictest in the nation. It prohibits most abortions once a fetal heartbeat's detected or about 6 weeks into pregnancy. A bright light seen last night above Los Angeles, mistaken for a meteor or alien spacecraft. It was actually a precision skydiving team for a photo shoot. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
President Trump will be meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House on Monday. Speaking beside Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday in Jerusalem, Netanyahu said the U.S.-Israeli alliance has never been stronger.
It's an unbreakable bond that's based on shared values of liberty and democracy and shared interest to fight the enemies of democracy, the enemies of our way of life.
The Israeli leader dealing with problems at home, including being the subject of an ongoing corruption investigation. No one matched all five numbers in the Powerball drawing last night, so Saturday's drawing will be worth at least $625 million. An Arizona mother with a popular YouTube channel remains jailed on $200,000 bond following her arrest for alleged child abuse. 48-year-old Michelle Hobson, accused of harshly punishing her seven adopted kids when they didn't perform well in videos that she posted on her popular Fantastic Adventures channel, which has over 800,000 subscribers. Her two adult sons are also facing charges. A new study says drinking piping hot tea can almost double the risk of esophageal cancer. The researchers were with the American Cancer Society. And March Madness really ramps up today as the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament Round of 64 begins in four cities. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
She seems happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Fresh and independent, we are right here at the intersection of faith and politics. We're back with you. Are you ready for some history? I mean, we're going to go to the Wild West here in just a few seconds and talk about Wild Bill. Brand new book here, The True Story of the American Frontier's First Gunfighter by Tom Clavin. Tom is number one New York Times bestselling author. He's worked as a newspaper and website editor, magazine writer, TV and radio commentator. Received awards. He wished they were rewards, but he's got many rewards from the accolades of his followers. Awards from the Society of Professional Journalists, Marine Corps Heritage Foundation, Semper Fi, and National Newspaper Association. Of course, his latest number one bestseller was Dodge City. Tom, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me once again.
Well, it's been a while since we talked, but Wild Bill now up next. What was it about this story that you said, look, I got to get my fingerprints all over this?
You know, it started with my book Dodge City, which came out a couple of years ago, and mm-hmm. some people might be familiar with that book. It was Dodge City about the friendship of Wyatt Earp and Bat Masterson and when they were lawmen together in Dodge City. And the book was quite successful, and you know, people would say, well, can you do another Wild West story? Who else in the American West can you write about? Yeah. And when I discussed that with my editor, I said, you know, the iconic name that occurs to me right away is Wild Bill Hickok, but right. You know, people might not know. You know, they know, if you know about Wild Bill Hickok, you probably know he was a gunfighter. But mm-hmm. And that's kind of one dimensional. If there's more to this story than just being a gunfighter, that could make for a good book. And so I started doing the research. And I found out that, yes, he was a gunfighter. He was, you know, the undisputed, undefeated heavyweight champ of gunfighters in the American West in the 1870s. But he was also a Civil War spy. He was a scout for the Army. He was a gambler. He was a Broadway actor. He married the most famous female circus impresario in America. You know, there's all these lives that he led in a relatively short amount of time.
Well, and as you say, as you start to pull back the onion layers here, you find out that there's lots more to him than his Colt pistol.
Yes, I mean, he is known as a gunfighter. That began in Springfield, Missouri in July 1865. As far as we know, it was the first recorded gunfight, you know, which mm-hmm. two men with guns in their holsters on their hips and approached each other, and whoever was going to shoot the fastest and the straightest was going to win that battle. So that's what began his reputation as a gunfighter, because he did, you know, kill the other guy. Mm-hmm. But you do start to find out that he wasn't just this one-dimensional character, and he was not, you know, gunfighter for a lot of people can have negative connotation. Which side of the law was he on?
Right,
was he
exactly.
a hired gun? You know, mm-hmm. would he kill people because he was getting paid to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that he was actually a lawman for part of his life. He's a federal marshal, in addition to being town marshal of Hays City, Kansas, and then Abilene, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you say, you peel away the layers of the onion, and you find out all these other aspects to a really remarkable person.
And, of course, when you have a nickname, Wild, I mean, that has a tendency to put you possibly on the wrong side of the law and give you that, give everybody that kind of impression. In terms of his gunfighting, you know, typical of what we read in history, you know, somebody can get a, you know, kind of a moniker of a gunfighter, and then you find out later that it wasn't like he had... like 5 dozen gunfights. I mean, it was maybe a limited number, but like anything, your reputation precedes you, right?
Well, that's kind of what happened with Hickok. I mean, he did have gunfights. I mean, there were people who challenged him to their regret because he was not only was he the fastest, but he could shoot equally accurately with his right hand and his left hand. That's why he wore 2 Colt pistols on either side of him. He could draw either one faster than anybody could draw one gun.
Wow.
There was one time that 5 guys all came from Montana. Came to town and challenged Wild Bill, or sought to challenge him. He got the word that these 5 guys were looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he met them on the street. And these guys figured out, you know what, there's 12 bullets in his 2 guns. There's only 5 of us. He could kill all 5 of us before we even get a chance to clear leather.
Right.
So they backed off. They took off. So there were actually gunfights that he was in. But, yes, you're right. Hickok, you know, became a celebrity and a reputation that went all over the American frontier. And that actually reduced the number of gunfights he could have had. Because, like these guys from Montana, they would encounter him. He was an intimidating person,
mm-hmm.
and they would back down. They said, "Okay, I'm not going to win this one. I'm going to go bother somebody else."
You say intimidating. Was he a tall figure?
He was. You know, at a time in the 1870s when maybe the average height for a male was probably 5'5", maybe 5'6". He was 6'1".
Mm-hmm.
Tall, lean, and muscular. He had wore the sombrero. He had the long brown hair that came down to his shoulders. He wore the buckskins, the breeches, and the yellow moccasins. And he wore, his 2 Colt pistols. He wore 2 Derringers. He had a Bowie knife in his belt. And when he was patrolling, when he was a marshal, he'd also carry a shotgun. So if you encountered somebody like this, you would think twice about saying the wrong thing or doing anything threatening.
Well, exactly. Who was Wild Bill as a young man growing up?
His family originally came from New England, and his father and his young family came to Illinois to be farmers. But his father, what his parents brought from New England was a very strong anti-slavery feeling. They were abolitionists.
Mm-hmm.
And so their farm in Illinois became a station on the Underground Railroad. It was not unusual for a young, he was James Butler Hickok was the name he was born with.
Mm-hmm.
It would be not unusual for young Jim to go into the family barn or the family basement, and there would be runaway or escaped slaves being hidden there until the time was right, the night was dark enough that they could be loaded up in the father's wagon and taken to the next stop on the Underground Railroad. So he was not going to be a farmer himself. He took off. He left home when he was 18, and he went to first Missouri, then Kansas, and he was looking for adventure. He was the only one of the Hickoks to leave the farm in Illinois. He wanted to see what this American West was all about, and he spent the rest of his life roaming far and wide. I mean, he really got to a lot of places in a relatively short time.
He really was an adventurer at heart, huh?
He was. I mean, he loved being out on the plains. It's no coincidence that the classic movie about Wild Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane that starred Gary Cooper and Gene Arthur is called The Plainsman. He loved being out. He was that mythic figure when people thought about the plainsman. That was Wild Bill Hickok that they were imagining. And he didn't have to imagine him because he really existed. He would, you know, he'd end up in the Dakotas, Wyoming, New Mexico, Colorado. Yeah, he was all over America, and people, he became a familiar sight on film.
Well, he had the kind of presence that maybe you hear that, you know, that typical Western sound when something's going to come,
yeah.
You know, in action. You kind of sense that he had some kind of musical logo that followed him or something. Huh?
He did, and he was somebody who he never sought confrontation. He really, part of it was that he knew how good he was. He did have this confidence. He knew he was the fastest. He knew he could shoot the straightest. So he didn't want to have a confrontation because he knew that there would would probably be bad news for the other guy.
Right.
But every so often, you know, there's a story in the book where he was when he was a deputy U.S. marshal and he was trailing somebody, and he stopped into this remote, you know, saloon, lean-to kind of saloon, just to get something to drink and warm up a little bit because it was a December day. And there were a bunch of guys in there that had nothing better to do, and they see this stranger come in, and he looks kind of unusual with the buckskin and the sombrero on. And they start thinking they can push him around, and then they started taking it when Hickok warned them. You know, don't, I want to fight here. Things are going to get serious.
Right.
They didn't listen to him. They pulled their guns out, and he killed four of them.
Well, there it is. We're talking with Tom Clavin in his brand new book, Wild Bill, The True Story. More from Tom on the other side of the break. Stay with us. It's 15 after the top.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com. Or call 888-315-9618. BlockItPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Are you having trouble sleeping? Have you tried all kinds of sleep aids that don't work or have suffered from their side effects?
Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Siliberti, clinical neurologist and sleep expert. If I were to tell you, I've developed an all-natural scientific breakthrough called Relaxium Sleep that will help you fall asleep fast and sleep deeply through the night, you'd probably be skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by giving you a risk-free trial.
For your free trial, call 800-644-9444. Relaxium Sleep is the only natural sleep aid developed by a clinical neurologist. Its triple-action formula contains two unique ingredients, Valorest and Sensoril, proven to promote fast, deep sleep so you'll wake up refreshed. Be one of the first 100 callers, and we'll include our free Delta Wave music CD to reach your deepest sleep. Call 800-644-9444 for the best sleep of your life. 800-644-9444. Or visit TryRelaxium.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
DINOVITE.
Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez live.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
back with you, America. Fresh and independent, just the way you like us. We are rediscovering and discovering for the first time, because this is a brand new book, but maybe rediscovering the story in a different way, and probably some different aspects that you hadn't heard about regarding Wild Bill, the true story of the American frontier's first gunfighter. And we're talking with Tom Clavin, the author, the best-selling author. Tom, when did Wild Bill discover that, you know, he could shoot?
Well, he, at a young age, you know, I mentioned he had grown up on a farm in Illinois, and he did some extra chores for a neighbor, got made a few dollars, bought his first gun, which was a rifle. And he did that because he wanted to roam in the woods. He'd shoot wild turkeys and small game and help feed the family, basically, because farming was a struggle for them. And one of the things he discovered is he had this natural talent for just shooting very accurately. What he aimed at, he hit.
Yeah.
And then that was also true when his next step was you know, learning how to shoot handgun, how to shoot pistols and revolvers. And he just, you know, some people are born with certain talents.
Right.
And Hickok had this natural talent to not only be able to shoot accurately, but to be ambidextrous about it. You know, he'd put on these shooting exhibitions in some towns just to have some fun with people.
Right. Yeah.
And he would, they would marvel at not only how he could shoot things out of the air and, you know, put a stopper into a bottle by hitting it with a bullet, but he could do so with his left or his right.
No, excellent. Now, when did he become Wild Bill? I mean, you know, you mentioned his real name was James, and somehow he gets the moniker Wild Bill. How did that happen?
Well, he had a brother who called him Bill, you know, because it was just something, it almost began as a joke between them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would call each other Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time that Hickok made it out to the West, you know, and we got to the other side of the Missouri River, he was Bill Hickok.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things about Hickok that I really thought was interesting was that he had this code of honor of there are things that he didn't like: bullies, he didn't like unfair fights, he didn't like injustice. And one day, the first year of the Civil War, and he is somebody who came from an abolitionist family, so he's very anti-slavery. But he's walking past a saloon. There's a big commotion in there, and there's people looking in, and he asked them, what's going on in there?
Mm-hmm.
And it was explained to him that the bartender had expressed some support for the Southern cause, and there were six guys who were Union guys who were going to, you know, show him the error of his ways with their fists.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Hickok himself would not sympathize with the Southern cause, he saw this poor bartender being, it was an unfair fight.
Exactly.
So he went in there with fists flying to take the side of the bartender. Later that day, word got around what happened. Later that day, he was walking down the street, and a woman saw him, and she yells to him, "Way to go, Wild Bill!" And that was the name that stuck with him for the rest of his life.
Wow. Now, you also talk in the book about, write in the book about his relationship with Buffalo Bill Cody.
Yes, you know, some people might think, oh, that was probably one of those made-up things, that Buffalo Bill and Wild Bill were friends, and it's not true. They were very, very good friends. Wild Bill was 10 years older. He actually first met Cody when he was a boy and saved him from a bully. And they encountered each other during the Civil War. After the war, they were marshals together. They were plainsmen, scouts for the Army together. And for the rest of Hickok's life, he and Buffalo Bill were very close friends. In fact, it was Buffalo Bill that got Wild Bill involved in this play called Scouts of the Plains that turned Hickok for a time into an actor, and they took it to New York, and it was a smash hit on Broadway.
Wow. So here's the plainsman going to New York.
I know. At first he thought it was a lark, and he was getting paid very well for it, and the play was a hit. You know, as you can imagine, and they took it to out-of-town places, too. They took it like to Pittsburgh, Rochester, other places, you know, Maryland, Baltimore. But just imagine if you're in New York and it's 1873 and you've been hearing for a few years about these legendary, iconic figures of the American West, Wild Bill Hickok and Buffalo Bill, and all of a sudden they're in a play on like West 44th Street, and you can put down a couple of dollars and go see them live on stage. So they were lining up around the block to buy tickets.
Unbelievable. Well, and I'm sure during that period of time in New York, it was a little bit easier for him to bathe daily, right?
Yes, that was one of his practices, even on the frontier, that he would bathe daily. If there was no bathing bathhouse available, he'd go jump in a stream. He was kind of fastidious about his appearance because, again, he was an imposing-looking guy. He'd be dressed well. When he was in town, you know, spending some time gambling and not out on the plains, he would wear like a Prince Albert frock and pinstripe pants, and he always wanted to make sure that people, when they saw him, immediately it was recognized, that's Wild Bill Hickok.
Right, exactly. Well, although there was, you know, some mystery about him, you write that he belonged, he was part of a secretive society of anti-slavery fighters called the Red Legs. Tell our audience about that.
He was. You know, when he first got to Kansas, he did not anticipate the kind of turmoil he would find there, because Kansas in the 1850s and, of course, into the Civil War, that's why they called it Bloody Kansas. Mm-hmm. The tug of war was over whether Kansas would enter the Union as a state, as a free state or a slave state. And you had these militias that just sprang up almost out of the ground that were pro-slavery or anti-slavery, and they would have these battles together, and they would go on raids and burn each other's houses. And one of those anti-slavery units was known as the Red Legs, and Hickok was probably a part of them. Although, you know, it's kind of murky, because as you can imagine, people didn't talk about being part of a vigilante group.
Right, exactly.
So it wasn't like he wrote home to mom. Oh, he actually did write home to mom about some of his adventures in Kansas, but he sort of used veiled kind of language, like, oh, I went to see a few of my friends in jail.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
yeah,
we're talking with New York Times bestseller Tom Clave and his brand new book about Wild Bill. Well, like anything, age will catch up to you, and it certainly did for Wild Bill. His eyesight started failing, right?
He did. You know, there's different speculations as to what kind of eye ailment he had specifically, but he discovered, I think it was first diagnosed by a doctor in Kansas City who said, you know, you may end up going blind. And then he later had another examination, and again he was told, you may end up going blind. So you can imagine the fix he was in, being a gunfighter whose vision was fading on him.
Exactly.
So as it was, Wild Bill Hickok never saw his 40th birthday. If he had lived longer, you know, it'd be interesting. Who knows what kind of life he would have had, because he would have obviously been unable to make a living as a lawman, as a marshal, and as a gunfighter.
And, of course, probably at that point, as you say, a bit marked, because he was the standard and somebody wanted to be the one to take him out, right?
He always had to be careful. He knew there was a bullseye on his back because when he was a lawman, for example, in Abilene, he would walk down the street, in the middle of the street when he was on patrol, not the sidewalk, because he was thinking some guy's going to pop up out of a window, out of an alley, out of a doorway. Mm-hmm. So he was very cautious, and he carried a shotgun when he did, in addition to the Colts and the Bowie knife and the Derringers and everything else. You know, he's a walking munitions factory. So he knew that that if somebody else wanted to make their reputation, the shortcut is you knock off the undefeated champ and try and become champ yourself.
Exactly. Tom, as you were doing the research and putting this all together, what was the big wow moment for you?
For me, it was his relationship with Agnes Lake, that she was this, you know, Calamity Jane was fun to research. She's in the book, and she would maintain for the rest of her life that she had this great romance with Hickok. But when Hickok met Agnes Lake, the circus owner and impresario, they fell in love, and it took them years. They circled each other. They wrote letters to each other. She had a circus to run, a payroll to meet. He was out on the plains. He was, you know, helping George Custer and his 7th Regiment scout the plains. So it was years that they circled each other before they finally ended up getting married. She's the only person, of course, nobody knows who she is today, but she was quite a remarkable figure in the 1800s, because she was this entrepreneur, the head of a major entertainment enterprise.
Exactly, at a time that women didn't do that, right?
No, not at all. It's like what made her so remarkable, and she was known in America and in Europe as well.
And it would have taken someone like her to tame the wild in Wild Bill, probably, right?
Well, I guess if you could tame lions and tigers, you could tame Wild Bill.
Oh my, why not? This book is going to be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com, available at all the usual places, right, Tom?
Yes, it is available. And please patronize your local bookstore, too.
Yeah, by all means. Wild Bill, the true story of the American frontier's first gunfighter. Lots of fun here, Tom. I appreciate the history and the opportunity to sit down and talk with you about it.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
I'm in the conversation.
You take care. Tom Clavin on Bill Martinez Live. Just about 29 minutes coming on after the top of the hour. For more information on the show on our website, BillMartinezLive.com.
Yeah. This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He's the suspect in a case last year that struck fear into Americans. Suspected mail bomber Cesar Sayoc, now to be in a Manhattan courtroom soon, expected to enter a guilty plea, though it's not clear what he's going to plead guilty to. Prosecutors have charged him with 30 counts, including using a weapon of mass destruction. The Florida man accused of mailing bombs last year to prominent Democrats and other critics of Donald Trump. None of the bombs detonated and no one was hurt. Burning since Sunday, a chemical fire in the Houston area has officials now asking residents of Deer Park to stay indoors as they've detected higher levels of benzene.
We're being very conservative. The safety of our community is our number one concern.
Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, who says they have local and state partners keeping a very close eye on the situation. And this is USA Radio News.
Having a hard time trying to instill good dental hygiene habits on your little ones? Corrine Wilson, manager and patient therapist at Contemporary General Dentistry in Connecticut.
It's all about making it fun and making the toothpaste taste good. And I'm so excited Crest has just come out with a new cavity protection toothpaste and bubble gum and strawberry toothpaste flavors, and it makes it a fun experience for the kids. And for the parents, it makes it great because you know you're giving your kids the best protection with a mild gel, cavity protection gel that's going to help to protect their teeth. So everybody's happy.
Other tips, create routines. Make sure your kids brush for 2 minutes twice a day, morning and before bedtime.
It's very important to have good dental hygiene because those habits that you start earlier in life, they follow you into adulthood. So you're going to want to make it a lifelong commitment to taking care of your teeth.
For more info, reach out to your dental professional or go to Crest.com.
Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, we're pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. The whole truth right here on Bill Martinez Live. Victor Davis Hanson joins us now, author of the new book, The Case for Trump. VDH is a senior fellow in military history at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University and a professor emeritus of classics at California State University in Fresno. Victor Davis Hanson, always good to have you back. It's been a long time, and you know that you're really special when it's all about your initials. Now it's just VDH, huh?
I don't know. I always call my people call me Victor, so.
Yes, I know, but now you know the pundit class says VDH with due respect because we definitely respect
your intellect and what you're bringing to the debate that is so essential right now, because it is beyond the 8-second sound bites. I've maintained, Victor, that you know, when people are relying on 8-second sound bites to determine their worldview, well, we're in trouble.
Yeah, we are, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I didn't want to be a rah-rah, Trump is a saint, but I didn't want to be that he's a Satan either, but more importantly, that there's an analysis that can be made about how he got elected, why he got elected, how he's done as president, and what's the prognosis.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad the way you broke this down, because in light of all the negative media, it's estimated MRC has reported repeatedly 90%. I mean, you really got to go out of your way to make 9 out of 10 reports about this president to be negative. I mean, it is on purpose. It's not by accident that it's coming out this way.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to take a deep breath and say, do we really want to try to abort a presidency before it really starts? And that's what happened. As soon as he was elected, they sued the voting machines in three states. They, meaning the progressives, the deep state, foundations, PACs, et cetera. And then you remember it was trying to convince the electors not to follow their constitutional duty to in the Electoral College. And then it was the 60 articles of impeachment. And then it was the amendment, the 25th Amendment, that Trump was crazy. Then he supposedly profited the Emoluments Clause. None of these worked. They talked about the Logan Act. Then they had the Mueller investigation. And we had this weird McCabe, I don't know what you'd call it, the Rosenstein Palace coup, the op-ed editorial. I remember in the New York Times on September 5th of last year that Anonymous said that people within the administration were trying to basically subvert it. And then we've got the Cohen testimony. So there's a pattern here that they cannot wait for the constitutionally mandated 2020 election. They're trying to destroy him now. And this is all together, as you said, with 85% negative press coverage from the mainstream media. And then this assassination sheet from Johnny Depp, Madonna, Kathy Griffith, I could go on, Robert De Niro.
Right.
This idea that you just say the most horrible things about the president and envision killing him. And I think when it's all over, people are going to be really feel ashamed. They should feel ashamed, but I think there is some of them going to feel ashamed what they tried to do. Because do they really want people to do this to the next Obama? I don't think they would tolerate. When one clown in a Missouri State Fair in 2013 wore an Obama mask, he was banned for life.
Exactly.
And that's the kind of standards they had then, and now they're being shown to be abject hypocrites.
Right. Well, here we are. We're spending $4 trillion for this government, and what are we getting out of it? And we have a businessman in the Oval Office, and something that I've been saying, even when I was a young kid with my dad, we would have these conversations, and I would say to my dad, Dad, we need a businessman as president of the United States who understands how this works, because even at our level, we're looking at the operations of government and going, whoa, this is insane. I mean, how are they able to get away with this? And now we get an outsider without any ties to K Street comes in about as independent as you can get. And he, in the midst of all this negativity and the coup that we find out, the insurance against him and against his president, I mean, this is worse, Victor, than Bush v. Gore. I mean, this is Bush Gore on steroids in terms of the, the antipathy towards a duly elected president of the United States.
It is, and it encompasses every aspect of our culture. I mean, it's the NFL and Colin Kaepernick. It's just Juicy Smollett. It's the Covington kids. It's ESPN. It's late night comedy. It's everything. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's varsity. It's even Varsity Blues, you know, because you think, you go, wait a minute, people, you've got to see this is the fruit of this culture right now. And we've got somebody in the office who at the last State of the Union, I think said something was quite profound. And if the people could catch it, it could make a difference in their very lives. And that is, look at, for all the things that you could choose to do, choose greatness. Hey, how about if we choose greatness? Could that have any effect on making America great again, which would affect your very lives, your families, your individual interests?
Yeah, and you try to be empirical and say to someone, well, we didn't have 3% annualized growth since 2006. We've never had this record low minority unemployment. We've never had this near record peacetime unemployment of 3.8. We've never pumped so much natural gas and oil, 3 million barrels since he took office. We've never had such good constructionist traditionalist judges. I could go on and, you know, we got out of the phony Paris Climate Accord, the phony Iran deal. We moved the embassy to Jerusalem. We talked honesty to the Palestinians for the first time. So there's been a lot of good things that have happened, and yet nobody cares. It's almost like a religion, the fervor to get rid of Trump and what he represents. Maybe it's his appearance, his accent, or maybe the fact that he's put out of business a lot of bipartisan reference like that presidents usually draw on the Council on Foreign Relations, the Brookings Institution. But one thing he has done, he's really, and with this college admissions stuff that's coming out, we really are starting to ask ourselves, is the traditional elite with all these alphabetic titles after their name, are these really people competent? Because if Trump is succeeding with the opposition of the Never Trump Republicans and the left and the administrative state and the media, maybe it means that they're both not so competent and not so influential as they think.
Yeah.
I think that frightens them. It terrifies them. That's one of the reasons they hate him.
Right. Well, and, you know, the chips will fall as they may. As you mentioned, Bill Maher makes this horrendous statement, again, being very honest and saying, hey, look, it's about us elites, you know, us special people, the flyover states, who cares about you? You know, you guys, you know, we have all these designer chefs and Wolfgang Puck, and you got Chef Boyardee and, you know, and all this demeaning stuff. And he concludes it by saying, hey, they're just jealous because they weren't invited to the party and they want to be us. We don't want to be you. We don't want to be going to jail. We don't want to be misappropriating the funds that our hard work has given us to where we can rig the system and then end up in jail and not with some minor offense. I mean, some serious felonies here that we're looking at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, the parents of a welder in Tulare, California, or Amarillo, Texas, did not pay somebody to basically fabricate an admissions to these elite progressive universities. It was all done by people with money and who were hardcore progressive, who always told us they believed in quality of result and diversity. And then on the sly, they were trying to rig the system for their own mediocre children. And that's sort of what progressivism has become. It's the Green Deal for everybody else, but for us, private jet.
Exactly.
That's right. The hypocrisy really bothers people.
Well, we're visiting with Victor Davis Hanson, author of the new book, The Case for Trump, the true story of how Donald Trump has become one of the most successful presidents in history and why America needs him now more than ever. More from VDH after this. Stay with us.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. That's 800-485-2167.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318.
800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez, live.
I am counting every blessing. Counting every blessing.
Oh, it's good to be blessed, isn't it not? 14 minutes before the top of the hour, this is what Newt Gingrich has to say about Victor Davis Hanson's new book, The Case for Trump. He says, as a great historian, Victor Davis Hanson makes the case for President Trump with unique insights and historic understanding and clarity. A must read for everyone who supports the president or wants to understand this moment in history. And, Victor, I would say that this is a very special moment for America. It's as if the pause button, in a way, has been hit to give America an opportunity to decide what kind of character, what kind of America do we want to turn over to the next generation? And here, with Donald Trump, Trump has become that instrument that I agree with you and your perception here, because beyond the emotion, and this is what Dr. Wilford Riley, who wrote the book, The Hate Crime Hoax, talked about. He says the problem that we have with our culture right now is it's so driven by emotion that we've let go and abandoned intellect. Critical thinking is no longer the order of the day. But when you critically think about what's going on in our country and the, you know, what Donald Trump brings to some healing of this country, the empirical evidence is right there, is it not?
It is. And one of the themes that I try to emphasize in the book is he's sort of like a Sophoclean Greek tragedy or a Western like Shane or the Magnificent Seven or Dirty Harry, or even American military people like Sherman or Patton or Curtis LeMay. In other words, when a society gets in an impasse and it's bewildered about these existential threats to it, whether it's the economy or, you know, the culture or foreign crises, it calls in somebody that they're not comfortable with because they're not part of the system. They're not the clean talking traditional sheriff or marshal. He's 3 days' ride away. So he's not there. Mm-hmm. And then when the person they call in does pretty well, they kind of have the margin of error, the luxury to think, wow, economy's getting better, everything's going better, I don't like his tweets. And then they rebrand their morality and saying, well, you know, he's crude, why did we ever bring him in? But they can only do that when he's brought results. So I think Trump, in a way, is sort of a tragic character because he's redefined morality. It's a very moral thing to get 3% GDP and record low minority unemployment. That means that millions of people, for the first time in our lives, have leverage over their employers. They have a choice of jobs. The people are competing for their services. That gives them a sense of self and their families. Commuters can drive on the freeway for $3 and less a gallon because of fracking and increased oil. All of these things have real ethical consequences, and yet here we are saying that, you know, that he said horse face, or that the excess in his tweets are what we should judge him by. But we never did that in World War II with Patton. We wouldn't have wanted to turn over the Third Army to another general like Mark Clark. We would have had thousands of people killed. So I'm not justifying crass behavior, but I'm saying that behavior, personal behavior, is not what is the totality of morality and leadership. Mm-hmm. Leadership has to be effective, and that's a moral and ethical act if it achieves results for millions of people.
For some reason, I kind of think that Trump will end up a bit like Churchill, that for a time and season he played the right role. You say that that Trump has been instrumental in recreating morality. I can't remember the exact word that you used there. But I think, to me, what he's done is he's helped us reconnect with our morality. Morality is there, and what he's saying is that it's okay to believe what you believe in. And with each kind of knitting of these moral fibers, whether it has to do with social injustices, whether it has to do with the practical things, Victor, of people being productive. I mean, let's face it, under the Barack Obama administration, people were not happy. And I maintain that one of the reasons that they were so unhappy was because they weren't working. And Donald Trump comes in and takes the heavy boot of government off the throats of the American people, the American worker, and says, go work, be fruitful, go multiply, go have fun again. And look what's happening. GDP of 3, and if we had some cooperation, we'd be at 4 or 5 right now, I believe.
Well, it's a very different message if you want to start a business or hire somebody when somebody says, go out and make America great, versus you didn't build that and now's not the time to profit. Or when you go into West Virginia, it's a very different moral thing if you're Hillary Clinton to say, we're going to shut down coal and put you out of work, versus Donald Trump's, I love big, beautiful coal.
Yes.
Or to refer to people in a way Mitt Romney never did, our workers, our farmers, our lathe operators, and Trump did our vets. And so this was what was the big paradox of the election and the president, somebody who shouldn't be empathetic given his wealth and background and sort of raconteur character, and yet he proved to be more empathetic to workers than any of the prior Republican nominees or Democratic supposed men of the people and women of the people. And that's why he disturbs people. They can't quite figure this out.
Well, he speaks to the heart of the forgotten man and woman, the flyover states that Hillary wanted to ignore, that the elites ignored, and he's right there with them. And he saw this, believe it or not, when you do a deeper dive into his interest with the pageant industry. He saw what happened. Even with The Apprentice, he was relating to the every man and woman, and this was something that no matter how many billions of dollars you want to put in to get elected, to be elected president, it still comes down to the message.
It does, and I think one of the key reasons that he was so successful is he was deemed authentic, and that was again another paradox. He didn't put on camouflage and go duck hunting like John Kerry used to when he was campaigning. He doesn't drop his G's like Obama in the inner city. Remember how Hillary Clinton drank Boilermakers and she's bold and she's you all when she was in Alabama. Whatever Trump is, when he went to the Indiana State Fair, he had his suit, his hair, his tan, and he had that Queens accent. It never changed.
Right.
So in a weird way, people said, I don't really know what this accent is. I don't know what this formal attire is here out in Wyoming or Colorado, but you know, whatever it is, it's authentic. And he is what he is. He says anything to anybody at any time, anywhere.
Exactly.
People in 2016 thought, wow, that is something different. I think it may be 2020 compared to this reparations and New Green Deal and infanticide is permissible abortion and, you know, wealth tax and Medicare for all. It'll be Donald Trump as the authentic alternative to socialism. That'll be as effective, I think.
Exactly.
Choice in 2016, because these people make Hillary look a little bit like a reactionary.
Well, the thing they know about Donald Trump is they've come to learn that they can count on him. I mean, being a business guy, Victor, I look at branding and the significance of branding and the power of it. And one of the things that is so critical to branding is consistency. For example, you know, when you go driving up to the Golden Arches, you know what you're going to get. The Golden Arches is consistent from coast to coast. It doesn't matter anywhere in flyover states. A hamburger is a hamburger at McDonald's, no matter what, right?
Yeah, it is. And people know that if somebody says something crazy or attacks Trump, he's going to retaliate. And he doesn't play by the Marcus of Queensbury rules. And by 2016, people said, why in the world did John McCain rule out the Reverend Wright is a campaign target? That was his virtue signaling, but it really let us down. Why did George Bush take all that abuse in 2007 and not fight back? Why
exactly.
Did Romney not grab that mic from Candy Crawley the second debate and said, wait a minute, you're no longer a moderator. You're a partisan helping my opponent. They got the feeling they wanted somebody to fight back. And they feel that whatever Trump is, he's a pit bull, and they want to cut the leash and tell people we're not going to take it anymore. And that's pretty much what he's did. And the progressive left can't figure it out. You know, they figure, why don't you all agree with me? Why don't you all accept that we can call you racist and xenophobes and sexist and nativists and protectionists? Why do you get mad at that? And so they still haven't figured Trump out.
No, but 63 million people did. And they said, he went and said, hey, what have you got to lose? Based on the line of politicians that you've had in the past, here I am as a businessman. I see the problems. He resonated with the people talking about whether it was the border wall, getting America back to work again. And what has he done? How many promises has he fulfilled, Victor? And, you know, his epitaph after everything is said and done, you know, I like you. I think that people are going to look back and say, we were blessed to have Donald Trump as president of the United States.
I do, too. And I think that I don't know how. I think he's also getting a grudging respect even from independents and others. In the Nietzschean sense, that anything that hasn't killed him has made him stronger. People all the time tell me he's 72. How does he get up every morning and read the paper or hear that his daughter, his wife, his son, his business, himself, is libeled, slandered with all of these often fake news accounts, and he just keeps going. He doesn't try to apologize. He doesn't try to contextualize. He doesn't try to temporize. He just goes out, and people are starting to say, wow, he's a force of nature. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I know that I couldn't at 65. Or there's no way in the world I could get 5 hours sleep and get up. And just writing this book, I've gotten a level of abuse that really bothers me. But I don't. It's nothing compared to, it's unimaginable what he puts up with.
Well, Victor, I think for those of us who have defended or have tried to defend this president, you've given us a lot of encouragement with the case for Trump, and it helps crystallize our thinking and our emotions toward this president that I believe ultimately will be appreciated for all that he's brought to us. Victor Davis Hanson, his book, Case for Trump, it is linked on our website and featured at BillMartinezLive.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay Heating Pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Most of you know that heart